Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. And today we're going to answer all your questions on goal setting. And you will be you'll understand perfectly everything you need to know about goal setting. Isn't that right?
Get a couple nerdettes here about goal setting.
I was like, don't set the bar high or anything. Okay.
It's like, goal setting, great question. Here we go.
I love goals. They are my favorite thing in the world, especially when you actually like attain one.
Yes.
That's when you can hear the crowds inside your head going, whoa. And then they're saying, okay, next, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, now what?
It's like, what? How do we go about this? Where do you start? Because some people aren't as nerdy, geeky, and love goals and those action items and processes to get to them. And I wouldn't be talking about myself, but they don't know where to start. They're like, where do I go for this?
Well, my biggest thing, and I think Stephanie does the same thing, is what is my big dream? What is the purpose to doing what I'm doing? So, I mean, my big dream is to live at the beach one day. Mm-hmm. So everything I do is centered around making that happen. And that's where I start, is what that big picture is. Because, you know, if I need to go get a 9-to-5 job and, you know, work at McDonald's, mm-hmm. then that's what I need to do if that works it towards my big dream.
Right.
It gives my mundane stuff more purpose, if that makes sense.
When I first got into budgeting, like 2000, I think it was, I would follow Dave Ramsey's financial piece. And one of the first things that he said was, you know, to get in alignment with your spouse on what is the end game. What do you guys want to achieve together? Because when you start thinking about 20 years down the line, both kids are in school, you know, do you dream about paying for their school, their tuition in full? You've got a paid for house, you're going to a trip to Italy. That, all those little financial goals and play into that end vision of what you see you and your family. So that's like the financial aspect. When we start thinking about like our artist aspect, it still plays into that, because mm-hmm. the dream is still to go to Italy. It's
right.
still to have the financial freedom to be able to do all the things that you want to do. So then you start aligning art goals to fulfill and drive towards that dream.
Right.
And I think that's, if you're just thinking like, okay, I want 20 items up on Etsy. Well, that's great. That's a little tiny step, mm-hmm. but unless you put a full meaning to it, to a greater portion of your life, mm-hmm. you're not going to want to do it.
So yeah, what you're saying is, what's your purpose?
Yep. Right. What's your purpose? And asking, like, with the 20 things on Etsy, why? Mm-hmm. Why? Why do you want to do that?
Mm-hmm. Is what's your big why? What's your big purpose?
Why, mm-hmm. you know, does it work towards what you're working to?
Right.
Because if it doesn't work towards, if putting 20 items on Etsy isn't going to get you to where you want to be for whatever that goal is, then why are you doing it?
Right.
You know, if you know, it can be a mundane little thing, but you have to know the why behind that. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it plays with everything, every right. single thing mm-hmm. that you want in your life, including health goals. You know, your health goal that you want to be mobile when you're 80. What do you need to do now to secure mm-hmm. that? You need to maintain your weight. You need to eat healthy. You need to get your fish oil. You need, you know, all these
right.
little daily decisions that impact mm-hmm. the greater good for yourself in the future.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's all those little things add up to the big thing, but you've got to start with what the big thing is mm-hmm. in order to figure out if there really is purpose in the little things. Because if there's not purpose in the little things, it's kind of like that. I compare it to that book that came out from about you know, purging your home. I can't remember the name of the book now.
Something Tidy?
Yeah, something
Maria
like that.
Kanda.
Yeah. And, you know, she lifts up a piece of clothing and does this bring you joy?
Yes.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Does this bring you joy or will it lead you to joy?
Yeah.
Because it may not bring you joy in the moment. Like, I mean, let's be real here. As artists, do we really like reading contracts and writing invoices?
No.
Not really. That's not why we're artists.
We like the money that comes from it.
We do it because that leads us to the end big dream. And so, no, it may not be bringing me joy, but it is leading me to joy. It's like the yellow brick road, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
well, I like it that you guys really do set it up for if the big goal for the year, for whatever you're looking at, maybe not for the year, but say like in 5 years, this is where I want to be. This is my big goal. This is what I'm working for. But I like it that Julie has it set up in her little goal, how to do
my
goals.
System. Yeah.
Your system is that you break it up into like things you could do each quarter.
Right.
And then for those quarters, so you can tell a little bit more
about
that.
Okay. So the concept is figure out what your big dream is, whatever that might be, and then come up with four manageable, smart type of goals. And I call them the tackle it goals. And those may be like, for me, it is to be licensed by three companies. And I want to sell X amount on print on demand. Okay. Those are two very actionable goals. And then under that, so those are my tackle it's, and then my make it happens are all the smaller baby step goals to that tackle it goal. And then that tackle it goal in theory rolls up into that big dream. And so it's kind of, you know, growing up in the 80s and 70s, it was all about Franklin Covey's way. And growing up in Wisconsin, it was Vince Lombardi's baby steps to get to the big dream of the Super Bowl and things like that. So it's I kind of take those concepts, but make them more into what I see as bringing joy to my life. And that's...
And that big joy is living at the beach.
Right, exactly. So for me, that big joy is living at the beach. That big joy for somebody else may be, you know, getting married and having a family, or that big joy may be, you know, being able to travel 6 months out of the year, or, you know, it just you need to find what brings you that big joy and why you're doing what you're doing. And by doing it this way, in my opinion, it leads to a little bit more freedom. Like last year, I was able to travel a little bit more and get my hands wet on different types of art and that, which has then set up the goals for 2022. But when you think about it that way, you have a little bit more passion into why you're taking action steps to do what you're doing.
And sometimes, so do you guys separate your art or your business from like family or like, so Julie, you have like living at the beach. So John's going to be a part of that, right?
Right.
Your family's going to hopefully go with you.
Pack your bags, honey.
Yep. No, we're both on the same page with that. And that's what makes it easier. But
right. That was my question. So like, do you guys kind of keep it all together as a family business, whatever? Mm-hmm. And you're shaking your head too. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's
a partnership. It's a partnership.
Right. It's a partnership and it's all together in one. And for me personally, I don't separate necessarily my personal goals and my business goals. Like my business goals lead me to my personal goals. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, John wants to retire early. Well, I can help with that. If I can sell enough residual or passive income, create enough passive income. Mm-hmm. So my business goals roll up into the personal from that perspective as well in creating that passive income. You know, I have a kid that actually I have two kids that what they want to do for degrees doesn't necessarily lead them to an in-state college. And, you know, I want to be able to help them with that. So to help them with that, my business goals and my personal goals need to align.
That's kind of where John and I, my John and I, we have to, we've already kind of reached a lot of our long-term goals because we did Dave Ramsey too, Stephanie. And so this last year and this year, we're really sort of reanalyzing what our new long-term goals are and things like that and where our short-term goals are going to be.
Right.
So
Yeah. But I do feel like they go together. If you keep them totally separate, I think as a family unit, you're kind of missing the purpose of being married and a partnership.
Yeah.
You know?
So I like the idea. So how do you look at, I guess, attainable goals and make them, and how do you like look at it, breaking them down into bite-sized pieces or baby steps?
So, yeah, for me, it's asking questions. You know, what do I need to do? What's the first step that I need to do? What, you know, what do I want to do? So, for example, my son's going to start driving here shortly. So we want to be able to buy him a car. And I would like to be able to contribute to that. My husband's, I don't think he's given that much that thought about that, but it's definitely something that I personally want to contribute to. So what do I need to do? First thing that I need to do is increase my income. How can I increase my income? Well, I've been thinking about going on Redbubble. Okay. So if I go on Redbubble, what statistically, how many pieces do I need to get up on Redbubble in order to earn income? And so I find that answer. Okay, then break that down. So the answer statistically, and I'm giving you guys a real world example here. The answer statistically is you need 1,000 pieces up on Redbubble. Or not,
1,000?
Not pieces, I'm sorry. 1,000 products.
Okay.
1,000 products up on Redbubble in order to start experiencing daily sales. So when you break down, okay, so 1,000 sounds like a lot. So if my goal is 1,000 products by the end of the year, I would then break that down. That's 83 products per month. And if I break that down even further into the week, that's like what?
One design a week, roughly.
Yeah.
So just assume that there's 20 products per design. Mm-hmm. And where this all came about was I kind of had the same question is, okay, why am I not seeing success on these print on demand? Okay, let me go analyze the people that are successful.
Right.
And maybe ask the question to them if I have the opportunity to ask a question. So both those things happened. And I noticed that the ones that were being seen and the one that I asked a question to had over, most of them actually have over 2,000 products.
Right, they've got a lot.
But there were some that had around 1,000 products that were seeing success. And then I'm like, okay, well, there's my answer on how do I need to sell more on print on demand? I need more products up on print on demand. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at the numbers now. If I need 1,000 products on and the average design has 20 products, what's the math on that? Okay. And I've determined that I actually want 100 designs on print on demand. So now if there's 10 months in the year, that's 10 designs a month.
Right.
Or since there's 12 months in a year, it's around 8 designs a month to get to my 100 designs, which will then in turn lead me closer to 2,000 products.
So the products, I was going to just, for someone who it may not be familiar with Redbubble or print on demand yet.
Cool.
So your products would be something like notepads or
so
comforters, or comforters, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So when you go and upload a design, there's all these different products that you can select from. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to at least have 20 products per design to get the numbers to work. So like Stephanie was saying, it's all about asking questions. For years, it's always been, okay, I want to sell products on print on demand.
Right.
Well, I wasn't asking any questions to what that meant. How do I get there? Mm-hmm. Yes, I get there by uploading stuff, but what does that really mean? And how do I do that? So instead of asking the why, because I know why I want to do it, mm-hmm. now I need to ask the how. And that's where you dig into the little goals. And I broke that down now. Okay, each week I need to put a design on and that design needs to have X number of products with it.
So just a side question. Are you guys concentrating on Redbubble and not Etsy this year?
No.
Or both?
All three.
Yeah, both. Well, she's working
actually,
on
I'm concentrating on four, actually.
Yeah.
So I want Spoonflower. I want Etsy, which will be through Printful. And then, which that won't be 20 products. That'll be less than that. And then print on demand will be Society 6 and Redbubble.
Gotcha. Yeah, for me, it's just Etsy and Redbubble.
Gotcha.
But to kind of go back to this, so that just gets you really the minute goal for that week, right? Mm-hmm. So you're, you know, posting one design each week on Redbubble. So the next step to that is to really define what are the steps that I need to take to achieve submitting one design on a Redbubble that gets me those 20 things. And that's when you start, you know, going back into the step-by-step, outlining step-by-step exactly what you need to do so that you can create that quote SOP, standard operating procedure, and really take away all of the thinking, all of like thought process that's required behind that and just do the work. Mm. And that way you get it done faster. So like last week, I'm actually doing this now on my little project plan and writing my SOP specifically for Redbubble. I've already got it done for Etsy and all this. And then clocking it, timing. How long does this actually take me? And I actually recorded myself because this is a course that I'm releasing this week, actually, in the Art Business Membership program, How to Get More Time in Your Studio. Anyway, so I actually clocked myself and watched me do it and sped it up. And the full duration of actually doing one design up on Redbubble took 1 hour, but it felt like freaking forever because it was just so boring. But when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, it was just an hour that's leading me towards my end goal of the residual income so that I can pay for my son's car or his car insurance, some sort of contributing factor that makes me feel good for my family.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you just look at what you want to do. You're like, hey, I want to do more print on demand. And then you break it down, Do some research.
Yeah.
Find out what's going to work for you.
And right. I think that's where most people are kind of getting off track.
I think so, too.
Because it does take time to do the research. Like when I was preparing this whole year of, you know, scheduling everything out, I spent probably a good 2 weeks of nothing but planning and outlining every single step that I need to take. So when the time came to actually do the work, I'd already done the planning. Mm-hmm. I could just do the work.
Well, and that's why in like my system that I've developed, it's okay, what's your big dream? Now, what are 4 goals that will help you get to that big dream? The tackle it goals.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's just take one of them and let's dive into that one and really break it down into what are all the tasks are going to be associated to that one goal. Now that I have all those tasks, what's my time frame for that one goal? Is it going to be 3 months that is the equivalent of a quarter?
Right.
Or is it going to be more than that? And what I try to do is also stick that one goal to, if it's 3 months, have 12 sub goals to get to the one. And then you have all your mini tasks that equal that sub goal.
Right.
Because I only want to be tackling one sub goal per week at most. And sometimes a sub goal may take more than a week. But until you know what all those steps are, you can't come up with a realistic time frame.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that because I think some people who are just new or like, oh yeah, I can get my Etsy shop up and blah, 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 this and that. And you're like, that takes even longer to upload because you really do need to research your, you know, your keywords, and you've got a good course on that.
Yeah, the Etsy bootcamp itself was a full 4 weeks,
right.
4 week program just to get everything up and running and get it integrated with print on demand. And I know everybody was struggling with just keeping up with that because they had day job and, you know, other priorities. So, you know, just opening the shop. Yeah, you can click a couple buttons, but then actually moving forward in progression towards your goal, it does take a little bit of time. So
they really do need to be realistic when they're looking at these and trying to step out into new goals or new actions. And that's what I love it that you timed yourself and you're like, it took me an hour. Well, it would probably take me 2.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be like Photoshopping and Canvas, you know, doing Canva and then maybe that.
Well, I did all that too. Within the hour.
And it's still
you know, and you're the sitting there waiting for things to process. That's
right.
Even
doing
part of
the templates and all this stuff. Right.
Trying not to multitask, because they've proven that when you do multitasking, it takes you 20 minutes mentally to get back into the task that you were originally doing.
Right.
So even those little pop-ups that are happening in the bottom right of your corner, that's a distraction. Every single distraction, your cat, your dog, your emails, is distracting you from doing one single thing, and that costs you time.
I've been doing some research on goal setting and this and that, and they have said that multitasking, it doesn't help you.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
But so when you watch, when you watch the video where I'm sped up, there are points where I'm just like, da 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 da, and my face and hands are going nuts and everything. And then I'm like, just sitting there, just waiting, because I'm trying not to multitask.
Yeah, it's really hard not to multitask.
It's really hard to do that. Yeah. But if you know, like, okay, I'm going to need an hour to do my mock-ups, you know, for my art, for this, and do it, you know, an hour.
Right.
Maybe not even a day, an hour a week or whatever. Say that
Etsy takes me a full 4 hours just for one thing, doing the description, the research, you know, the print on demand. It all takes a total, and all of the product mock-ups takes 4 hours, whereas Redbubble takes one.
Well, it's like you mentioned the Etsy boot camp in the 4 weeks. I'm in a class right now, which is a watercolor class to get into print on demand, and it's 4 weeks long, from looking up the trends, deciding what motif to do.
Yeah.
And then the next week is digitizing that work and turning it into different things. And then the last week is actually getting it on print on demand. So if you look at the whole process, it's that more than an hour. But if you already have the work done and you're ready to, and you've got the background removed and you're ready to load it, that's the hour that Stephanie's talking about, which leads me into my next thing that you have to do when you're goal setting and task doing, is you have to put time estimates to it. Time estimates are of utmost importance.
I think so too.
Because in order to schedule in quote unquote white space, for overflow or distractions or interruptions or problems.
Right.
You need to have somewhat of an estimate of how long it's going to take you to do stuff.
Right.
And that needs to go in those mini tasks and the subtasks is what your time frame is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then some of these tasks can become repeatable. Like every week I need to be putting a new product up. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to be on vacation that week. That means the week before that needs to be two products and stuff like that.
And I don't think we're like saying you should have a routine for the week, but you should have a somewhat schedule.
Well, there's
our ideas of what you need to do for, you know, your weekly task.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Julie does something.
Yeah. I mean, you always have daily tasks, you always have weekly tasks, and you always have monthly tasks. Find out which ones of those are reoccurring and how much time those take, to know how much time you have for your other tasks and your what want to do's and your other goals. Because if you're working a full-time job, you need to take that into consideration. You have 40 hours a week that you cannot dedicate to the side hustle. So you've got to set your goals realistically based on what your daily to-dos are.
Right. Yeah. And there's only 24 hours in a day.
Exactly.
But I know Julie has an interesting way of doing things. And in terms of, like, you have days, like you'll just pick a day. Today I'm going to write a blog post. Today I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Today I'm going to do that. Where I take mine and it's kind of like project based, and I allocate time based, and I can work on multiple things during the day. So, for example, I'm working on an ebook or a course. So I know I'm going to spend about 3 hours on that. Here's the tasks that I need to get done for that to stay on track.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that I used to be a project manager. So this is something that I do. And Julie was project manager too. So this is kind of something that, and so there's no, one of my point here is there's no wrong way to do
correct.
It. There's a way that you prefer to do. So if you like to batch and say, today I'm only going to, you know, just do Redbubble. I'm going to get 1 to 3 items up on Redbubble. And then after that, I get to go do whatever I want.
Right.
You know, or I'm going to write 1 to 3 blog posts for the month of March. And once I'm done with that, I could do whatever I want.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of up to you, where I have mine based on projects. And so I know I'm going to do task 1, 2, 3 today and of this project, and task ABC of this project. Once I'm done with that, I can go do whatever I want.
Yeah. And see, and I work more in the batch process because I get too many distractions and interruptions.
Yeah.
If I set my day to, okay, today I am just going to work on writing. Mm-hmm. I can have my mm-hmm. mental mindset, because I hate to write, already set to today's a writing day and these are the writing tasks I'm going to get done.
Yeah. I love that. I think it is all in your mindset of mm-hmm. how you want to do things. Because,
yeah,
you know, some people are more analytical, some people are more creative, and then some people are just somewhere in the middle. Right.
So. And you've got to know, I mean, I didn't always work like that. Yeah. You know, I've just grown into knowing that at this stage in my life, I get too many interruptions because since 2003, I've been working out of the home by myself.
Yeah, no.
And now I have a family frenzy of people stirring around, and I have yet to get the house back to my work environment. And so I'm getting instructions or interruptions, or I hear somebody scrounging in the kitchen, or, you know, somebody has to be at a lesson, or someone has to practice.
And,
so for me, I've had to switch the project manager side off of being task oriented and switch to, okay, I've got a batch. Yeah. So my point to that, though, is you've got to realize how you work.
Right.
And it's not always going to be the same way that you've always worked. You know, if it's not working for you and you're not getting your tasks done that lead you to your goals, either your time frame to get stuff done is off, or the way you work has changed and you need to figure out mm-hmm. what is something I could change to see if I'm more productive.
And I know, like, I also, you know, position things based on when I'm most productive. So I'm most productive and most alert in the morning.
Yes.
So I do a lot of thought provoking, like the blog post writing, the newsletter, the all the writing parts I do in the morning. And then about 2 o'clock, I am mentally done. Like, you can just forget mm-hmm. about it. And that's when I'll get into the more creative aspects. And because when I get to the creative aspect now, that just seems to come more naturally. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to think as much as I used to. I know that sounds funny. I don't have to think as much, but it's more intuitive.
Trying to figure out what you got to do that week, but also figure out when you mm-hmm. are going to be
most productive,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know, so Julie and I, we both have courses on actually how to mm-hmm. goal set. And Julie was a speaker last January and February at the Positive Painters. So we have that in there, but mm-hmm. you're also coming out with another course.
Yep. I'm working on a course on, put up on Skillshare on goal setting, and then a second one on part two of being the planning, like the daily, weekly, monthly planning mm-hmm. in order to obtain your goals.
Yeah. And you also have a really good.
Because that's what I'm just releasing. It's something very similar.
Well,
but we have different approaches, but it all leads kind of to the same.
Right.
And different. Mm-hmm. When she and I are talking, I'm like, oh, I just did that. And it's just reaffirming to know that there's a way to do this. And so even if you don't learn from me, Julie might have another way to
well, and she also has
correlate,
a
good, right, relate and she, this stuff.
Hers came out from developing her planner.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That all came from my planner,
which is on
Etsy. I have my digital version on mm-hmm. Etsy, and have a little couple videos on how to use it.
Yeah. Those videos are great. Yeah.
So I hope you guys got a little something out of how to set some goals for this 2022 year. It's here, whether we're ready for it or not. So we might as well get ready for it, right?
Kick this beer in the teeth. This is the year, right?
Yes.
Punch it in the throat. Let's go get it.
Kick in the shins.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.